Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit upon them all. This wish of Moses from our first reading comes true. This prayer of Moses is answered in the new covenant, if we would only recognize it. Our first reading from the book of Numbers, God told Moses to gather 70 elders who were to become assistants to him, to help him in governing the people. So Moses summons them all to the tent of meeting. They have their prayer meeting. God gives them a portion of the Spirit that he's given Moses. He gives the Holy Spirit to these elders, and they all begin to prophesy. But then they hear that there are two other elders who were among those chosen by Moses. You know, they were on the list, but they didn't show up at the meeting tent. They forgot, or they got sidetracked doing something else, but they weren't there. But they hear that they also had received the Holy Spirit and that they're prophesying in their place in camp. Now, Joshua is indignant, and he says that they should stop them. But Moses replies, "Would that all of the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit upon them all." And what a great response that is. Because Moses doesn't care exactly how God's spirit acts. He just wants God to act. You know, he'd planned for all 70 elders to be at the meeting. He expected that God would work that way. But when God does something a little bit different, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't get angry. He knows that God is acting, and so Moses rejoices. This is something that we could stand to learn ourselves. You know, we often think that we know what God should do, how he ought to fix things, and then we get frustrated when God does something different instead. We need to be like Moses. More than our own personal desires for what we think God should do, we need to desire that God would just do something, even if it's different than what we expect. We should rejoice when God acts, even if we don't understand what he's doing. Because how often do we look out at the world and we think, gosh, this place is a mess. Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he make a change? Hopefully we pray for that, of course. But we're often expecting that God will do something out there. Over there in that section of the church. we're hoping that someone will come along and God will use them to make a change. We'll use them to do great things in the world. But we get a bit nervous if he says that he wants to use us to make a change in the world. How hesitant we get if God hints that he wants to make a change in our life. We want God to change the world, but we want him to start somewhere else, not by changing us. You know, we want God to win the war, if you will, but we don't want to be the ones on the front line for the final charge. We want the power of God's word and spirit to transform the world, but we don't want to be the prophets who boldly speak that word to the world, who rely on the power of the spirit to get them through seemingly impossible situations. You know, we say we want God to pour out his spirit upon his people, but do we want it enough? Do we pray for it enough to welcome it when God gives his Holy Spirit even to us? Because that is what God wants to do. This wasn't just a casual remark of Moses. This is not just a throwaway line that would that all God's people would be prophets. No, this itself is providential. This itself is a prophetic remark from Moses, the great prophet. Later on in the prophet Joel, God repeats this. He says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Even upon the manservants and the maidservants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." This is a prophecy about the new covenant, about our times. This prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and in his body, the church. At Jesus' baptism, remember if you've seen a picture of the baptism of the Lord, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. In fact, the very word Christ, Christos in the Greek, means anointed, anointed one. And that anointing with the Holy Spirit wasn't just for him. We too are anointed ones. We are Christians. We have it right in our name. We're anointed. Anointed, each of us were anointed after our baptism with the Holy Chrism, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descends upon us at our baptism. And then again, we were anointed at our confirmation. The full grace of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. It's not only Christ the head who was anointed with the Holy Spirit, it's also the body, the church, us. In us, Moses' prayer is fulfilled. God has bestowed his Holy Spirit upon all of his people. And that anointing makes us prophets. Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king. And by our baptism, we share in those three offices. We are baptismal priests, prophets, and kings. We're anointed as prophets, charged with bringing God's word to the earth. And we can get some extreme ideas about what a prophet is sometimes, especially if you spend all your days reading about Elijah the prophet. He was kind of the biggest, baddest prophet in the Old Testament. And he did some pretty amazing stuff, you know. You're reading through some of it, and it's like you're watching a superhero movie. But that's not all that the prophets are about. You know, we think about prophets as predicting the future, foretelling the future, and sometimes they did that, but they did that as part of the more fundamental thing that prophets do. At the basic level, a prophet is one who communicates God's word to his people and to the world. And that's what we are all called to do. Well, what does that look like? How do we do that in our daily life? Well, it looks different in different situations. According to our different gifts, God's going to use our natural gifts to help us be prophets. Certainly for all of us, it involves the witness of our lives, the way we live, the witness of living counterculturally. In every age, the world, the surrounding culture is very far from the ideal of the gospel. And this seems more true than ever in our own age. We're in need of men and women to boldly and fearlessly live the gospel to the full, even though that means living radically different than the way the neighbors are living or the way everyone else is living. So we need to give witness by our conduct, but we also need to give witness by what we say. We need to be willing to actually speak the word of God, to not be afraid to speak the truth of God's message, God's will for that particular situation. Maybe that means being ready to answer questions that people have about the faith, about God. Maybe that means boldly speaking words of affirmation to a friend who has depression, assuring them that God is not disappointed in them. Being a prophet might involve learning more about the faith, learning more about our Catholic faith, so that when questions come up or when there's an opening in a conversation with a coworker, you have something to say. You're able to give a response. For you parents, a lot of your prophetic ministry is to your children, both in your words and in your actions. Let them see in you one who talks to the Lord and one who can freely talk about the Lord, just as easily and naturally as you talk about the Vikings or the Twins. You know, that was one thing I always appreciated in my house, is we would have conversations about Jesus, about the church, about church history. It was just part of what we talked about. It wasn't something that was closed off on Sundays. You know, let your children see those prophetic actions, choices that you make that give witness to the love of the Lord, the justice of God, the reality of the faith. Let them see that it makes an impact on you. On Friday night, I was at a banquet for the Aim Higher Foundation. It's a local foundation that gives scholarships to needy families to help them afford a Catholic education. And I saw a lot of OLG people there. It was great. They had a lot of speakers. They had some movies and, you know. And they had a kid there, this 12-year-old boy, Isaac. And we heard from him. We heard him speak. And they had a video that showed what he'd done that year. You know, they'd just moved to a new town recently, and he noticed a lot of homeless people in this town. And this really disturbed him, that they had nowhere to live. How are they going to live in the cold? Well, Isaac decided that he had to do something about it. And so he started a charity program with his Catholic school to collect a bunch of things that homeless people would need. Food, water, toiletries, clothes, some nice warm socks, and they assembled them in these bags to give to the homeless around Christmas time. Isaac was the coordinator. He was the leader. He was out there soliciting donations. He was the inspiration to the whole team. And last year, they gave away hundreds of these bags, and they're going to do even more this year. Even though Isaac is only 12 years old, he is a prophet. That is exercising the prophetic office that we have by our baptism. You know, how often do we forget the poor and the needy? But Isaac boldly took a stand upon the truth that God calls us to actively love and serve our neighbor in need. He helped those in need by the particular things that he gave out, and his action also reminded all of us of that truth of God's word. That's a prophetic action. Let's pray that we may have the courage to live out at prophetic vocation as well. We have the power. The power is available to us. We have access to the full power of the Holy Spirit if we only have the courage to ask for it. Look how that power changed the 12 apostles at Pentecost. You know, before Pentecost, the apostles are huddled in the upper room. They're afraid. They're worried about what's going to happen to them. After the Holy Spirit descends upon them, they're courageous. They're preaching the truth of the gospel to the far corners of the world. They're ready to give up their life for Jesus Christ. Would that all of God's people would be prophets. What does that look like? What would that be like if all the members of the church, if all the members of Our Lady Grace Parish, if all the members of all the churches were exercising those prophetic gifts? They're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, speaking to him in prayer, cooperating with him confidently, consistently, week in and week out, letting him lead them. I don't know what that would look like, but I want to know. I want to find out, because that's what the church needs. We need a new Pentecost. Not just on the apostles, not just on the leaders, but upon all of the baptized. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. Let's courageously and confidently ask him to make us his prophets. Let's invite him to change the world through us. Would that the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon us all. Let's pray. O Holy Spirit, come down upon us. Make us your prophets. We give you permission to speak to us. We give you permission to work in us. We give you permission to lead us. Please give us your words to speak however and to whomever you will, and lead us in prophetic actions. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.